So, yeah, beautiful song by Lochan Das Thakur. Srila Prabhupada liked that song very much, and he wrote, I think, a lengthy purport on it, so you can look that up later. But Lochan Das Thakur was born in the year 1520. That was just 34 years after Lord Chaitanya appeared. And he was born in a village near Bardhaman, which a lot of us know because there's a train station there that you travel to Mayapur from there. And he was born in a family of physicians. So from a very young age, he met Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Lord Chaitanya had already gone to Puri, but he met the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and he was very, very attracted to the Lord, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. And he took initiation from Srila Narahari Sakar Thakur. And he was also very much influenced by Murari Gupta. So Murari Gupta was living in Navadvip Dham, and he was also a doctor, a famous physician. And Murari Gupta wrote a Sanskrit text about the qualities and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya as he experienced them, because Murari Gupta had a lot of association with Lord Chaitanya while he was still in Navadvip. And so he wrote this Sanskrit book, short book, called Chaitanya Charitamritam. But this book, it was lost, and somehow or other it was lost. But before that, Lochan Das Thakur, he associated a lot with Murari Gupta, and he had heard the book from him. Murari Gupta had basically narrated from the book to Murari Gupta, so he was familiar with the contents. So after, when this Chaitanya Charitamritam was lost, then Lochan Das Thakur kind of recounted it in his book, which was in Bengali, so that local people could understand it, and he called it Chaitanya Mangalam. So that's a short book that we have available for us. It's translated in English. And interestingly, Vrindavan Das Thakur, who's famous for writing Chaitanya Bhagavat, his book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, was first called Chaitanya Mangala. So I remember hearing that Lochan Das Thakur afterwards wrote another book called Chaitanya Mangala, and then Vrindavan Das Thakur changed the title of his to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it didn't make sense to me that, you know, a younger devotee would kind of force a senior devotee to rename his book because he wanted the title. So I was like, what is that? So I found out a little bit more about that. And what happened is that because Vrindavan Das Thakur is the incarnation of Veda Vyas, Srila Vyasadeva in Chaitanya Lila, and of course Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is considered the Parama Praman. It's like the most authoritative scripture on the Lord. And so in order to give Vrindavan Das Thakur's book sufficient merit and glory and authenticity as the, you know, biography of Lord Chaitanya in his younger years, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj suggested that it be called Chaitanya Bhagavat. So people would accept that this is the Bhagavat of Chaitanya, just like Vyas wrote the Bhagavat of Bhagavatam on Lord Krishna. So then Lochan Das Thakur took the other name, because now it was no longer being used and it was a good name. It was kind of handed down in a sense. So then Lochan Das Thakur's book became known as Chaitanya Mangala. So Lochan Das Thakur wrote many songs. He particularly was fond of Lord Nityananda, I learned. And so a lot of his songs are glorifying Lord Nityananda. So with Lochan Das Thakur's blessings, we will attempt to glorify Lord Chaitanya by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Lochan Das Thakur ki jai. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. die. So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're going to conclude Madhya Lila, chapter 15. We're just going to conclude that with the last couple verses of the chapter. And then we're going to start chapter 16 and read up to text 34. So I think because there's quite a few verses, we won't read all the Bengali for all the verses. We'll just, the verse that has the purport is text 34. So when we get there, we'll recite that, if that's all right with everyone. Okay, so Madhya Lila, chapter 15, text 301. Whoever hears these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and love will attain the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet very soon. So this is the Fala Shruti of hearing the pastime, which was just finished, which is Amogha Lila, right, which His Holiness Keshava Swami spoke on last Saturday. And then the famous ending of every chapter, praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. And now we'll start chapter 16, which starts with a beautiful verse glorifying Lord Chaitanya and the life-giving effect he had on all of his associates. By the nectar of his personal glance, the cloud known as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu poured water upon the garden of Godadesh and revived the people who were like creepers and plants burning in the forest fire of material existence. So this is all of us, right? Samsara Dava Nalalita Loka. We're all caught in this blazing forest fire of material existence. But Lord Chaitanya came to this world and he lived the first part of his life in Godadesh, in Navadvip Dham, that area. And wherever he went, it was like a shower of water. It was like buckets of mercy, right? Karunya, how is it? Samsara Dava Nalalila Loka Tranaya Karunya Gana Ganatvam. It was like a cloud just released, a huge torrential downpour of mercy on the people who are compared to little creepers or plants. So if there's a small plant, very delicate little creeper, and there's a fire next to it, that creeper is done, right? It's going to get scorched, it's going to get burned, it's going to die. But if some kind person comes along and pours a bucket on the fire, puts out the fire, bucket of water, then the creeper can survive. It's saved. So Lord Chaitanya's presence, his glance, was like that bucket of water that put out the fire that was almost burning the people to death. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan, and Maharaj Prataparuja became very morose upon hearing this news. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Sri Sri Gonitai ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to leave Jagannath Puri and go to Vrindavan. And so all of a sudden, when the residents of Puri heard that, they were all like, this is the worst news that ever came to us in our entire lives. We have to somehow or other stop the Lord from leaving. So Prataparuja Maharaj said, please endeavor to keep Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here at Jagannath Puri, for now he is thinking of going elsewhere. Without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this kingdom is not pleasing to me. Therefore, please try to devise some plan to enable the Lord to stay here. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself consulted with Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, saying, I shall go to Vrindavan. Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested the Lord to first observe the Ratha Yatra festival. Then, when the month of Kartik arrived, he could go to Vrindavan. So like, oh, Lord Chaitanya, every year all the devotees come and we have this ecstatic Ratha Yatra festival and you dance and you chant and it's so inspiring. Please don't go now. Just wait, stay for Ratha Yatra, and then after Ratha Yatra, then you can go. However, when the month of Kartik came, they both told the Lord, now it is very cold. It is better that you wait to see the Dola Yatra festival and then go. That will be very nice. So he stays for Ratha Yatra, he stays for Kartik, and then now they have another excuse, right? Stay a little longer, attend the Dola Yatra festival. In this way, they both presented many impediments, indirectly not granting the Lord permission to go to Vrindavan. They did this because they were afraid of separation from him. Although the Lord is completely independent and no one can check him, he still did not go without the permission of his devotees. So somebody might think, what is this? What kind of devotees are these, right? That they're blocking the desire of the Lord. Because Rupa Goswami defines devotional service that anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. That devotional service has to be without any personal concerns, any other desire, except to fulfill the desire of the Lord, right? Serving Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, made his desire very clear, and the devotees are supposed to facilitate the Lord's desire, right? Fulfill the Lord's desire. But what are they doing? They're blocking the Lord's desire. They're frustrating the Lord's desire. They're putting so many impediments in the way so that the Lord cannot fulfill his desire. So what kind of bhakti is this? According to Rupa Goswami's definition, it doesn't seem like bhakti at all. So this is a different level of bhakti, right? For those of us on the in the stage of sadhana bhakti, it's difficult to understand the bhakti of the prema bhaktas, of those who are on the level of pure love for the Lord. So, yeah. But their behavior is just, it's arising out of love. And love, there's a verse, Rupa Goswami wrote a verse in the Ujjvala Nilamani that's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita that says, where is it written here somewhere? I thought I did. Oh, yeah, it's here. Aher eva gati premna swabhava kutila bhavet. So aher, he's talking about love, pure love for Krishna. That the nature of that love is, it's aher eva, it's like a snake. Aher means snake. And yeah, it moves like a snake. And swabhava kutila bhavet. Its nature is that it is kutila. It's very crooked. Right? Like in Krishna's pastimes, we have Jatila and Kutila. So Kutila, her name means crooked, because she's always causing a disturbance in the meeting of Radha and Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says, this is the nature of love, that it moves like a snake. So the snake's movements are crooked, right? Snake doesn't go in a straight line. It moves itself like this, but it doesn't even go straight. It's kind of like all over the place when it moves. And it's unpredictable. When you see a snake moving, you're not sure where, it's hard to tell where it's going because it doesn't like move in a set direction. So it's crooked, it's unpredictable. And then another thing Srila Prabhupada says about snakes is when they come at you, they'll do so without any provocation. In other words, their movements are not necessarily linked to some reasonable cause. You know, they just do something like randomly, irrationally, illogically. So that's the nature of love. It's illogical, it's irrational, it doesn't seem to have any reasonable cause in its activities. It's predictable and it's crooked. So this is the devotees there. See, they're being a little devious. They're being a little deceitful and tricky with Lord Chaitanya. So these are typical of the activities of pure love, is that they're crooked and unpredictable. So we have to understand these things properly. So, yeah. And this is not just a one-off thing, that devotees out of love tend to impede the Lord's desire or make him do something he doesn't want to do. So there's two sides, right? One thing is sometimes the devotees make the Lord do things he doesn't want to do, and sometimes they block him from doing the things that he does want to do. So what are some other examples of this in either Chaitanya Leela or Krishna Leela or Ram Leela that you can think of? Devotees frustrating the Lord's desires. Yeah, so Krishna just wanted to play. He wanted to feed butter to the monkeys, and Yashoda came along and she tied him up. You don't get much more impeding than that, right? She literally restrained him physically. Good. But that was due to love. That was only due to love, right? Anything else you can think of? Yeah, so Radharani's like, get out of here. I don't want to see your face. You can just turn around and go back from whence you came. Yeah, sometimes that happens. Krishna gets very frustrated. He goes down, sits next to the Yamuna, and he's just sulking and throwing pebbles into the Yamuna and watching the ripples, and throwing more pebbles. Yeah, or he has to spend all night under a tree. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, he goes to someone's house and he's like, okay, but don't make me eat. I'm a sannyasi. You're always trying to break my regulative principles. And they're like, no, it's fine, Lord. We're only going to make you some boiled vegetables. He's like, okay, fine. Rice and boiled vegetables, that's good. And then they get there and they give him a huge mountain of prasadam that's like dripping in ghee and so many different things. And they make him eat it. One time they made him eat a whole room full of prasadam, right? That he had stored away, all the prasadam that Raghava Pandit would bring at Ratha Yatra time, and he would just store it and store it and store it. And one time the devotee said, we're cooking so much prasadam for you and offering with so much love, and you're just neglecting it. What is this? And then they were so upset about it, Lord Chaitanya said, all right, just bring on, I'm going to eat it all right now. And there was literally a room that was piled from floor to ceiling with prasadam, and he just ate it all in one sitting. So, yeah, he was forced by the love of his devotees. So this is the nature of the Lord. I think we talked about this in a class I gave before about how the Lord is not at all independent. Right? He says that to Durvasa Muni, aham bhakta paradino, yas vatantra iva dvija. He says, O Brahman, I am not at all independent. I am completely under the control of my devotees. So that's from Srimad Bhagavatam 9.463. He uses the word bhakta paradina. So paradina means dependent. I'm completely dependent on the will of my devotees. And in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 9, it says, Britya Vashyata, that I am controlled by my servants. Britya means servants. And then we have a couple of places in the Dhammadharastika where Krishna, where it says that the Lord is controlled. Right? We have Tadiyeshita Geshu Bhaktir Jitatvam. So Bhaktir Jitatva means he's conquered by his devotees. And we also have Stita Graivam Damodaram Bhakti Badham, that he's bound by his devotees. So, and then Krishna has his 64 transcendental qualities, and one of them is that he's the supreme controller. But then ironically, another one of them is that he is Prema Vashya. He's controlled by love. So how is the supreme controller controlled by love? Is that a contradiction? Does that mean he's not exactly the supreme controller at all? Or what does it mean? He's the supreme controller, he's the supreme enjoyer, but he ends up being controlled by other people, seemingly for their enjoyment. Yeah. So how do we reconcile these two contradictory qualities of the Lord? They? Yeah. So basically it means if the supreme controller and supreme enjoyer is controlled by love, that means that he enjoys being controlled by love. He wants to be controlled by love. So that's the nature of Krishna, that he actually enjoys these loving exchanges, right? Like we all do. And why do people enter into relationships where they have to take vows and make promises? You know, they become bound by that person. Why? Because it's a nice feeling to be controlled by love. And, you know, when you have children, it's like you have to do so many things. Your children make you do so many things. But you do it, but you love it, you know, because you like to be controlled by love, by the love of those who really love you, and devotee relationships. Otherwise, we couldn't have relationships. So this is the nature of the spiritual world, is that there's pure love, there are pure loving relationships and loving exchanges. And that's actually the ultimate source of happiness. And because the Lord is the supreme enjoyer, he knows how to enjoy happiness, and he enjoys being controlled by the love of his devotees. So let's read on a little further here. Text 12. Then, for the third year, all the devotees of Bengal wanted to return again to Jagannath Puri. So they forced him to stay for Rath Yatra, and now all the devotees from Navadvip are coming again, as usual, for Rath Yatra. All the Bengali devotees gathered around Advaita Acharya, and in great jubilation, the Acharya departed for Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the Lord told Nityananda Prabhu to stay in Bengal and spread ecstatic love of God, Nityananda left to go see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who can understand Nityananda Prabhu's ecstatic love? So here's another example. Right? Lord Nityananda got a direct order from Lord Chaitanya, don't come to Jagannath Puri. I want you to stay in Navadvip and preach. There's a lot of work to do. We have to spread Krishna consciousness. In Navadvip, no one would listen to me because, you know, they know me as Nimai Pandit, and no one listens to you in the place where you grow up anyway. So I had to travel around South India to spread the holy names. But you can do it. You go back, go with Haridas Thakur, go door to door, tell everyone very humbly, ask them to chant Hare Krishna. And I need you to really just focus on that. And don't keep coming back and forth to Puri just for your own pleasure. But Lord Nityananda, he was like, forget it. All the devotees are going to see Lord Chaitanya. I'm going too. I don't care what he says. So this is also a symptom of love, that, this activities of love. So Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he talks about how bhakti has two forms. There's bhava rupa and cheshta rupa. So bhava rupa means the internal, the emotional feeling of love, right? The bhav that's within the heart. And then cheshta rupa means the external activities that arise from that love. So in the Bengali for this verse, text 15, Krishnas Kaviraj uses this. He says, Nityanandera prema cheshta ke pare bujite. He says, who can understand Nityananda Prabhu's ecstatic love, or the cheshta, the activities, the external activities that arise from his ecstatic love? So we're seeing very clearly that Nityananda wasn't being disobedient and rebellious and just, you know, wanting to go to enjoy the festival for his own enjoyment, but this was prema cheshta. It was an activity that was purely arising from his prema, from his love. And Krishna's Kaviraj is saying, ke pare bujita, who can understand it? We cannot understand the love of Lord Nityananda for Lord Chaitanya that defies all scriptural injunctions, right? Because we hear so much about how the order of the Lord, the order of the Guru, one should take it as one's life and soul, one should not think of anything else, even in dreams. It's the secret of success in spiritual life. And it's not that Lord Nityananda doesn't know these things. He's the Adi Guru. He knows all about guru-disciple relationships and instructions of the Lord. But he's throwing it all away out of love. So who can understand the activities of Lord Nityananda that arise out of his prema for the Lord? Okay, now we'll go ahead and read through till our purport, starting from 16. All the devotees of Navadvip departed, including Acharya Ratna, Vidyanidhi, Srivas, Ramai, Vasudev, Marari, Govinda, and his two brothers, and Raghava Pandit, who took the bags of assorted foods. The inhabitants of Kulina Gram, carrying silken ropes, also departed. Narahari and Sri Raghunandana, who were from the village of Kanda, and many other devotees also departed. Who can count them? Shivananda Sen, who was in charge of the party, made arrangements to clear the tax collecting centers. He took care of all the devotees and happily traveled with them. Shivananda Sen took care of all the necessities the devotees required. In particular, he made arrangements for residential quarters, and he knew the roads of Orissa. That year, all the devotees' wives, the Takuranis, also went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sita Devi, the mother of Achyutananda, went with Advaita Acharya. Srivas Pandit also took his wife, Malini, and the wife of Shivananda Sen also went with her husband. Chaitanya Das, the son of Shivananda Sen, also jubilantly accompanied them as they went to see the Lord. The wife of Chandrasekhar, Acharya Ratna, also went. I cannot describe the greatness of Chandrasekhar's love for the Lord. So they're going, the husbands, the wives, the children. So these are exemplary grihastas. You know, most of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya were actually married, and they worshiped the Lord and performed Sankirtan and did their performed devotional service and along with all their family members. And yeah, they set the example for most of us, right? Most devotees will get married at some point. And so we have all these examples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers glorifying the power of bhakti, because out of all the other spiritual processes, karma and jnana and yoga, bhakti is so powerful that one doesn't need to be practice complete celibacy. One doesn't need to, you know, live in a cave somewhere or stay only in an ashram, but anyone can practice it in any ashram, even, you know, married people who have their careers and who have their wives and are raising children. Bhakti is so powerful that they can achieve, anyone in any ashram can achieve the supreme goal of life, go back to home, back to Godhead, by devotional service. So we see all these examples in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. To offer Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu various types of food, all the wives of the great devotees brought from home various dishes that pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As stated, Shivananda Sain made all arrangements for the party's necessities. In particular, he pacified the men in charge of levying taxes and found resting places for everyone. Shivananda Sain also supplied food to all the devotees and took care of them along the way. In this way, feeling great happiness, he went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. I'm just now, a few days ago, I came back from India where I was leading a yatra with a small group, just 10 devotees from the U.S. and there were a couple from Europe, two girls that actually were at the manor, Esther and Anseli. They both joined our yatra. And I have a brahmachari who was helping me with the logistics. So he was the Shivananda Sain of the group. They were calling him Shivananda Sain because he was arranging the accommodations and the transportation and the money and things like that. And then I was doing all the classes and the katha and things like that. So it was a good combination. So just remind me of that, Shivananda Sain. Okay. When they arrived at Ramuna, they went to see Lord Gopinath. In the temple there, Advaita Acharya danced and chanted. All the priests of the temple had been previously acquainted with Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, they all came to offer great respects to the Lord. That night, all the great devotees remained in the temple, and the priests brought 12 pots of condensed milk, which they placed before Lord Nityananda Prabhu. When the condensed milk was placed before Nityananda Prabhu, he distributed the prasadam to everyone, and thus everyone's transcendental bliss increased. They then all discussed the story of Sri Madhavendra Puri's installation of the Gopal deity, and they discussed how Gopal begged sandalwood from him. It was Gopinath who stole condensed milk for the sake of Madhavendra Puri. This incident had been previously related by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So now that brings us to text 34. So now we will finally do the verse, the Bengali. Se katha sabara madhye kahe Nityananda. Shunya Vaishnava mane badila ananda. Se katha sabara madhye kahe Nityananda. Shunya Vaishnava mane badila ananda. Please chant. Se katha sabara madhye kahe Nityananda. Shunya Vaishnava mane badila ananda. Se katha sabara madhye kahe Nityananda. Shunya Vaishnava mane badila ananda. Se katha sabara madhye kahe Nityananda. Shunya Vaishnava mane badila ananda. Sekata Sabada Madhya Kahe Nityananda. Shunya Vaishnava Mane Badila. Ladies. Sekata Sabada Madhya Kahe Nityananda. Shunya Vaishnava Mane Badila Ananda. Sekata Sabada Madhya Kahe Nityananda. Shunya Vaishnava Mane Badila Ananda. Okay, let's do the word for word. Thank you. Sekata, that incident. Sabada Madhye, among all of them. Kahe, relates. Nityananda, Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Shunya, hearing. Vaishnavamane, in the minds of all the Vaishnavas. Badila, increased. Ananda, the transcendental bliss. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This same narration was again related by Lord Nityananda to all the devotees, and their transcendental bliss increased as they heard the story again. Purport. The words Mahaprabhur Mukhe from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are significant because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first heard the story of Madhavendra Puri from his spiritual master Sripad Ishvara Puri. See Madhya Lila chapter 4 verse 18. After staying at Sri Advaita's house in Shantipur for some time, the Lord narrated the story of Madhavendra Puri to Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Prabhu, Damodar Pandit and Mukunda Das. When they went to Ramuna, to the temple of Gopinath, he described Madhavendra Puri's installation of the Gopal deity, as well as Gopinath stealing condensed milk. Due to this incident, Lord Gopinath became well known as Kira Chora, the thief who stole condensed milk. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. So this is coincidentally, or not coincidentally, this is another example of how the Lord is controlled by the love of His devotees. We have the pastime of Madhavendra Puri and how he was sent on a mission by his Gopal deity to go and get sandalwood because Gopal was underground for many, many years since Mughal attacks on Vrindavan after he was originally established by Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranab. Then he was hidden. And during that time, it gets very hot in Vrindavan, and he was underground, so he was just cooking under there. And finally, he appeared to Madhavendrapuri and said, "I'm underground at this place. Get the villagers, dig me out of here, and put me in a temple." So after doing that, Gopal said, "I'm still hot, even after being bathed by so many pots of cold water." He said, "Please go and get some sandalwood from the Malaya Hills and cover my body with that sandalwood." So Madhavendrapuri was traveling on foot, and he was on his way to go get sandalwood, and he stopped at Ramuna, this place called Ramuna, where there's a famous temple of Gopinath. And so the temple of at Ramuna, they were very well known for the sweet rice that the pujaris would cook and offer to Gopinath. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And so Madhavendrapuri was thinking, well, if the Lord is so pleased by this sweet rice, it would be nice if I could know how the sweet rice is made, because when I get back to Vrindavan, I can make it for my Gopal, and he'll be very happy. So while he was there in the temple, he saw that the pujaris were going on the altar with the plates of sweet rice, and they were offering it. And while the offering was going on, he had that thought. That's when he had that thought. Was, oh, I would like to taste it, because by tasting it, I can get a sense of, you know, the consistency, how much sugar, the ingredients, and then I can just make it for Gopal. So then he immediately thought, oh no, I've just been desiring to taste the Lord's offering before it even came off the altar. This is very offensive, and I'm just, you know, just selfishly desiring to savor the taste of that sweet rice. And he was condemning himself, and he thought, I'm an offender, I should just immediately leave. I'm not even going to have the Mahaprasadam now. I just need to get out of here because I'm such a low person. My consciousness is so not what it should be. So then he left, and he just went to, by this time it was evening, so he went to the empty marketplace, and he was just sitting there chanting, taking shelter of the holy name, trying to purify his consciousness, and chanting all evening and into the night. And what happened was, that the pujari, that night he had a dream in which Gopinath came to him and said that there was one devotee that came today and he wanted to taste some of the sweet rice, but he left before he got a chance to take it, and I saved a pot of it for him. Every day they would offer 12 clay pots. And so he said, you didn't notice by my yogamaya potencies, you didn't notice that when you took the offering off, there were only 11 pots. The 12th pot I hid behind the cloth curtain. So please go find it there and deliver it to Madhavendrapuri, who's in the marketplace chanting japa right now. So the pujari immediately was like the middle of the night, but he got up, he took his bath, put on his clean clothes, went to the altar. And then he went looking behind the curtain of the altar, and lo and behold, there it was. There was a pot of sweet rice. So he was like, wow, this Madhavendrapuri must be an exceptional personality, that the Lord personally, you know, the deity, you know, somehow or other got that pot of sweet rice over there and saved it for him. So then he went into and he didn't notice who the visitor was, so he didn't know who he was looking for. But the Lord told him his name, so he went to the marketplace and he's got this pot of sweet rice and he's just yelling, Madhavendrapuri, 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 I have something for you. You're the most fortunate person in the universe, Madhavendrapuri. So he's very ecstatic calling out the name. And then Madhavendrapuri, he's like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, I'm such a fallen soul, I'm so unfortunate, I'm such a wretch. What am I going to do with myself? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then somebody's calling me in the middle of the night. What is going on? And so the pujari comes and he's like paying his obeisance at his lotus feet and giving him the pot of, Gopinath saved this for you. He came to me in my dream. He told me that you wanted to taste it and he wanted you to taste it. And here's, and Madhavendrapuri was just like totally like overwhelmed. Can you imagine? You know, the deity knew your heart. Because after all, his desire wasn't, it wasn't a materialistic desire. He wasn't desiring to enjoy the sweet rice. He just wanted to serve his Gopal, and he wanted Gopal to enjoy the sweet rice, and he thought, I can just make it like that. I can. So the Lord understood his heart, and Madhavendrapuri, he savored that sweet rice, and he felt so blessed by the Lord that he even kept the clay pot wrapped in his cloth, and every day he would take out a little piece of that clay pot and eat the clay pot as well, thinking that the Lord touched this pot with his lotus hands and saved it personally for me. So it's mentioned that Lord Chaitanya heard this pastime from his param guru, about his param guru, from his guru. So Ishwarapuri told Lord Chaitanya this pastime about Ishwarapuri's own guru. So it's kind of like how you might hear about a pastime of Srila Prabhupada from a Prabhupada disciple. Right? It's like that. We hear Prabhupada stories from Prabhupada disciples. So Prabhupada's our param guru. And so Lord Chaitanya got to hear about his param guru from his guru, who personally heard about it from him. And then at Advaita Acharya's house, a bunch of devotees were gathering, and Lord Nityananda was there, and Lord Chaitanya retold the pastime to them. So Lord Nityananda heard it straight from Lord Chaitanya. So every year the devotees would go from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra. And if you look on the map, Ramuna is right on the way, and it's a perfect, pretty much a perfect halfway spot. So that every year they would stop at Ramuna. And every year Lord Nityananda would be with them, and he would tell them this pastime. So it says that again he related the pastime, and again the devotees were in bliss. In fact, every time they would hear it, they would become more and more blissful. So this is the nature of Krishna's pastimes and the devotees' pastimes, is that, you know, we read Krishna book, it's all the same stories. We read Bhagavatam, it's all the same pastimes. We hear, you know, Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, you read Prabhupada Lilamrita, it's all the same pastimes. It's not like the new ones are coming out every year. It's the same ones again and again. After you've been a devotee for all, you've heard them all. But at the same time, it's new every time, right? And the happiness you get from hearing it increases every time. And the depth with which it touches your heart also increases every time. So this is what was happening when the devotees were hearing this pastime again from Lord Nityananda. So another thing we see here is that the pujaris, because they stopped there every year, the pujaris got to know Lord Nityananda. So as soon as, and they're probably expecting him, that, oh, Rath Yatra is happening soon, the devotees from Navadvipa are going to be coming, Lord Nityananda is going to be among them, all these great souls, all these personal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, really looking forward to them visiting again, and we're going to make sure that we save all the sweet rice for them and give all 12 pots to Lord Nityananda to distribute to his associates. So like that, when we visit holy places again and again, then the local devotees get to know us. And I recently had an experience like that because this is the fifth annual yatra that I've led. And certain places that I always take the devotees, we add some new stopping points every year, but there's always some places that we... So, for example, we're always going to go to Radhakund, right? If we're going to Vrindavan, we're going to have to go to Radhakund. You can't not go to Radhakund. And so one place that I always visit there is the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Krishnas Kaviraj, the place where he actually wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if any of you have been here there, it's just a very small place. It's just like a little, very small room. And there's an old Baba that lives in that room. That's basically his bedroom. He's got all his stuff in there. So you enter into his bedroom, and then you go through there, and then there's a doorway into the place where Krishnas Kaviraj's Bhajan Kutir is. So every year I take all my... We always take a small group. We try to keep it between 10 and 15, so we can just barely squeeze into that room there. And we always stay there for some time. We do some katha, we maybe sing a bhajan, and like that. So the Baba who lives there, by now he knows me. So in fact, he knows me because one time I left my bag of wet clothes after bathing in Radhakund. I left my bag in his room by mistake. And then I had to wake him up from a deep sleep. He was like taking his afternoon nap. And I was like, hi, Baba. And then the next time I went there, he was like, oh, you left your clothes there last time. I mean, he doesn't speak English, but he, by his body language, and he said something, bag, bag, kapra. And I was like, yes, that was me. Sorry. Anyway, so this year we went, and we were on our way there, and before we even got there, this Baba, his name's Narottam Das, he was out sweeping the courtyard there by the ghat in front of And there's that Pilu tree there and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and a few Bhajan Kutirs there. He was sweeping. So as soon as I came and my group with me, as soon as he saw me, he's like, "Oh, Krishna's Kaviraj, Bhajan Kuntir, lock, 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 open, open." So he had locked, it was locked because he was doing seva. So he took us there and he opened it and he let us in. He stood there. So it was just nice, you know, to be recognized by a great soul like that who's, you know, very near and dear to Srila Krishna's Kaviraj, who's a resident of Radhakund. So like this, if we go again and again to these holy places, we, even if we don't speak the language, these souls start to recognize us and appreciate our sincerity and reciprocate. So the pujaris did that with Lord Nityananda. They're like, "Oh, the Nityananda's here with his devotees. Give them all the sweet rice and facilitate them in whatever way we can." So yeah, this pastime of Madhavendra Puri is very, very sweet, very beautiful. That out of love, the Lord became a thief to please his devotee. And so that Gopinath, since then, his name became Kirachor Gopinath. He's known as the Gopinath who stole the sweet rice for his devotee. So the devotee performs inconceivable activities out of love for the Lord, and the Lord reciprocates by performing inconceivable activities out of love for his devotees. So at our current stage, we can only marvel at these loving exchanges between the great Prema Bhaktas and the Lord. But as we stick to the process of sadhana very sincerely, very strictly, with humility and gratitude and determination and faith, then we will gradually advance up to this stage, right? From Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, to Bhava Bhakti, and eventually we will get to Prema Bhakti, right? In this lifetime or the next, hopefully sooner rather than later, and we'll be able to experience these wonderful emotions and inconceivable activities and wonderful reciprocations with the Lord. So that's what we have to look forward to. We just need to keep going. So I will stop there and open it up for any questions or comments. I heard that this class on the weekends goes till 8:45, right? So we've got 15 minutes. Yes, Ru.
Hare Krishna. We see how exalted Madhavendra Puri was. He's incarnation of Vayu and greatest devotees always, but sometimes we see that in Vaishnava, within Vaishnava groups, he's kind of like a blemished, or I can't say criticized, but minimized maybe due to their orientation on jnana, vairagya, and some karma mishra bhakti there, and because they're missing Radha Bhava aspects. And even Prabhupada mentioned that he's not something we follow, something like they're very much oriented on knowledge, jnana, and entire teaching of Madhavendra Puri. So we see how he exalted is actually. Even Gopal stole for him. So we can comment on that. How is that? In which reason is like some Vaishnava sect kind of minimize him? And
yeah, I mean, anyone who thinks that Madhavendra Puri is just a jnani or a vairagyi doesn't know Madhavendra Puri, right? Madhavendra Puri is like the great grandfather of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So it was no coincidence that Lord Chaitanya took initiation in his line. And we can see that, you know, he went to Vrindavan on pilgrimage and he was sitting there at the foot of Govardhan Hill by Govindakund, right? That place is there. There's a beautiful tree there. And there's a very ancient tree that he was sitting under on the banks of Govindakund, just at the foot of Govardhan. And yeah, he was fasting and he was just meditating on Krishna Leela, and Krishna came to him, right? I mean, how more rasika do you get than that? That the Supreme Personality of Godhead literally like takes a form, little boy, and comes there and says, "Oh Baba, I heard that you're fasting. My mother sent me here with this pot of milk for you. And in our village, no one fasts. You please drink, and I'll come back later with the pot." So then Madhavendra Puri, he was very overwhelmed with love somehow for this boy who he didn't know who he was. But he thought, well, this was so sweet and so kind, and I need to accept. So he drank the milk and continued with his chanting. And then, yeah, that night he had a dream in which that boy that gave him the milk, the boy never came back to get the pot. He kept waiting, when is that boy coming back to get the pot? And he didn't come back. He was disappointed. He was hoping to see him again. But he saw him that night in his dream. Same boy came and said that, "I came to you with the milk today. Actually, I need your help because I'm not just a little village boy. I am Gopal." It was Krishna. I'm Krishna. I'm the Lord myself that came. And I need you to excavate me from the ground. So, you know, he established the Gopal temple there and the worship of Krishna. And yeah, he was a totally surrendered soul. He was just willing to do anything and everything for the pleasure of the Lord. And later, actually, he went and he got that sandalwood, and he got a lot of, it was heavy, you know, he was carrying all this sandalwood on his head and walking for miles and miles and miles. And then finally he got back to Ramuna, and he got to the Gopinath temple, and Gopal deity again came to him in his dream and said, "My dear servant, my dear devotee Madhavendra Puri, you've been struggling. This is physically exhausting work of carrying this heavy wood on your head over rough terrain on foot, and he was also getting trouble with these tax collectors that, you know, you have those valuable sandalwood, you pay up, you know, and he had to deal with them." And so when he got to Ramuna, Gopal said, "You know what? Me and Gopinath are the same. You know, there's only one Krishna, and Gopinath is, we're the same person. So you just grind up that sandalwood and smear it on the body of Gopinath, and I'll be cooled by that." So that's what he did. So we can see, you know, from these pastimes that Madhavendra Puri had a very, very intimate relationship, very personal, sweet relationship with Krishna, not like jnanis do, right? And also like the way we use the word jnana in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, when we say someone is a jnani, it usually means, you know, that jnana which is leading towards impersonal understanding of the Lord. So it's definitely not that. And when we say someone's a vairagyi, of course there's renunciation in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, right? Lord Chaitanya taught vairagya vidhi, nija bhakti yogam, but the emphasis is not on vairagya, our emphasis is on yukta vairagya. So usually when we call someone a vairagyi, it means that they're just, you know, renouncing, they're just giving, they're literally a tyagi, they give up everything, they're not doing yukta vairagya, they're just doing straight up vairagya. So Madhavendra Puri was not that. You know, he built the temple, he was using things in the service of the Lord, he was wanting to make sweet rice, he was getting sandalwood, he was like very actively engaging the things of this world in the service of the Lord, not for his sense gratification, but only in service. And also he had this very sweet, very personal, you don't get much more personal than Madhavendra Puri's relationship with Krishna. So he was definitely not the kind of jnani that is going towards impersonalism. So we have to understand these things properly.
Just in terms like, I think Prabhupada mentioned also that his teaching is not pure devotional service, and he's not highest, in terms that he's not highest or something. So this is what he mentioned, I think Prabhupada in one place. So is that kind of bonafide way to, if you are established in some higher rasas, to kind of not give importance to that, how to not fall in that trap, because I'm very much attracted to Madhavendra Puri's life, and then also like also in all incarnation of Vayu, some are very attracted, but when I read that Prabhupada kind of changed my view in terms of ultimate goal, like
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that quotation, Srila Prabhupada saying that he wasn't.
So he mentioned Prabhupada something, or maybe his lecture, I don't remember, something like, this is not highest, or something, I don't remember.
You want to respond? Please pass the.
From Prabhu's description, it seems that he's talking more about Madhvacharya than Madhavendrapuri. Like you said, incarnation of Vayu, that would be Madhvacharya.
Are you talking about Madhvacharya? Okay, so totally different devotee. That's why what you were saying wasn't just, it just wasn't correlating with what I know about Madhavendrapuri. Scratch that. It's okay, thank you. So yeah, Madhvacharya is different, right? Because Madhvacharya, the teachings of Madhvacharya, he doesn't worship Srimati Radharani. So his teachings are actually very different from Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings. So Lord Chaitanya, although Lord Chaitanya took initiation in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, he very much changed the teachings of the Sampradaya. Yeah. Yes, Subhadra.
So in the beginning, you were saying how the Lord is not independent from his devotees. He's dependent on his devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was wondering, how is it that the pastime of Chota Haridas, even though all the devotees were requesting him to accept Chota Haridas and forgive him, he didn't?
Mm. Yeah, there are some examples like that too. The Lord has his purposes, right? So there's different reasons why the Lord acts in certain ways. Sometimes it's that he's responding to the love of his devotees, and sometimes he really is teaching, right? He's in a teaching mode, right? So it just depends on what his purpose is, what lesson he's trying to teach. So in the case of Chota Haridas, he's very much in teaching mode, right? I want to teach people, anybody who is in the renounced order, they shouldn't be associating with women. So, yeah, that was his lesson. And Lord Chaitanya was very strict about that. So Chota Haridas, the way it's described is that he had taken sannyas, and he had gone, and Lord Chaitanya had asked him to go and get some rice. So he was begging rice, and apparently there was a woman who was an attractive woman, and Chota Haridas had some lustful feelings towards this woman whom he was begging rice from. And Lord Chaitanya understood his mind, because he's also the Paramatma. He understood what was in Chota Haridas's heart in that exchange, that he wasn't just begging rice, but there were also some sparks flying there. And he said, this is not appropriate for sannyas. So, you know, he distanced him from his association. Yeah.
How is it then that Srila Prabhupada accepted many such sannyasis who later went to the Grihastha ashram, and he still accepted them, even though he's coming in the line of Lord Chaitanya?
Mm-hmm. How did why did he accept sannyasis that what?
They looked lustfully at women later. They even like got married and, you know, had children like that.
Yeah. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was very, very merciful, right? The devotee of the Lord is more merciful than the Lord himself. Srila Prabhupada was really an ocean of mercy. So, yeah, there's even instances where Prabhupada's sannyas disciples fell down and got married, and Srila Prabhupada, he performed the marriage, you know, he encouraged them. There's even the purport, right, in the Gajendra Leela, where Srila Prabhupada says that everyone has to be in their position of strength. And he wrote that purport after one of his sannyasi disciples had fallen down from sannyas and got married. And he said that this Kali Yuga is a very difficult age to navigate. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, it's like declaring war against Maya. So if you're fighting a war, you need to be in your position of strength. So more important than, you know, strictly following the principles of our ashram is that we stay in Krishna consciousness. So if it's a question of like changing ashram in a not very glorious way, or totally blooping, you know, and just giving up our Krishna consciousness, then just situate yourself however you need to be situated, but keep chanting, keep serving, keep hearing, and go on. Be strong, because be in your position of strength so that you can fight against Maya. In the same way that, because Gajendra was an elephant is a strong animal, but he was in the water, he was out of his element, so he was weak and he was dying in the jaws of this crocodile. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada gives sannyas to his disciples like in an emergency situation. Prabhupada even said that. He said that, actually, I shouldn't be giving sannyas to these men, but what can I do? We need to preach. We have a movement to spread. I need people who are just going to dedicate their lives for this purpose, otherwise it's not going to happen. So he gives sannyas to men and their, you know, young American and European boys in their 20s. And they did huge amounts of service. You know, so if they fell down after that, then, you know, we should just look at the service that they did. They did so much service. If it wasn't for those young men, who knows what the movement would be now? Who knows if we would be here chanting Hare Krishna? So who are we to say, you know, who's fallen, who's not fallen? We have to be grateful for the service that was done. Yes, Prabhu.
Last time that Gaur Govinda Swami related to Madhavacharya, he had an oxen that pulled the cart, and and every time Madhavacharya spoke, the cow or the oxen would stop chewing as though he was hearing, and all his disciples were saying, who's going to, you know, write your tika, explanations. And he pointed to the oxen, who came back as Jayatirtha, who wrote the Tirtha. And that's a nice pastime too.
That's cool. He's thinking the oxen listens to me better than you guys.
Yeah. He said while he was chewing it in his mind.
Ah, very nice. Thank you. So you never know who's who, right? Okay. Any last comments or questions? Okay, so we'll end here. Thank you very much for attending, for your kind attention and contributions. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Krishna Kaviraj Goswami ki jai, Shri Madhavendra Puri ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.